I'd like to just start by saying thank you to our hosts here at Pueblo Community College, and also thank you to our staff. We're trying to have some meetings outside the Denver metropolitan area. I know that poses a significant burden on all the members of staff who have to participate not only in the setup but the presentations for the board meeting. And on behalf of the board, I'd like to extend my thanks to the staff for the what I know has been a significant extra effort on their part, especially on the part of Ms. Birdsall, since she doesn't have anything else to do since she's getting married in about a week. So no conflicts there. So we'll start. Dr. Scheffel is running a few minutes late, having to drive down from Denver this morning. So we'll start with the roll call. And one other thing. Following the meeting today, Joyce Rankin, the representative from the 3rd Congressional District, will be available for a quick town hall meeting and discussion, and some of the other board members may feel they want to stay behind for that. But if we can, especially if we can adjourn at a reasonable hour, so those who do want to talk or speak directly with Ms. Rankin, please know that we'll do that immediately following the board meeting here in this same room. So, all right, and so. Okay. Take your time. All right.
Yeah. So, board member Flores.
Here.
Board member Goff.
Here. I don't know if this is on. Is it on?
Michael Chad.
This is.
Board member Madman.
Here.
Board member Rankin.
Here.
Board member Scheffel.
Excused.
Board member Schroeder.
Here.
And Chairman Durant.
Here. Quorum is present. We'll now ask Joyce Rankin from the 3rd Congressional District to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. The flag is right over there.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Ms. Rankin. We'll now proceed with item 4.0, the approval of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
Yes, I move we approve the agenda as published.
Dr. Schroeder's moved the approval agenda. Is there a second? Thank you, Ms. Goff. It's been moved and seconded. Is there objection to the motion to approve the agenda? Seeing none, that motion is declared adopted by a vote of 6-2-0. We'll now move to items to be placed on the consent agenda. Dr. Schroeder.
I move to place the following matters on the consent agenda. 13.02. Approve 2016-2017 funding assistance allocations to the boards of cooperative education services as set forth in the published agenda. 14.01, regarding disciplinary proceedings concerning a license, charge number 2012-EC-620, direct department and the state attorney general's office to prepare the documents necessary to request a formal hearing for the revocation of the holder's license pursuant to 22-60.5-108 CRS. 14.02, regarding disciplinary proceedings concerning a license, charge number 2015-EC-753, direct department staff and the state attorney general's office to prepare the documents necessary to request a formal hearing for the revocation of the holder's license pursuant to section 22-60.5-108 CRS. 14.03, regarding disciplinary proceedings concerning an application, charge number 2015-EC-1826, direct department staff to issue a notice of denial and appeal rights to the applicant pursuant to section 24-4-104 CRS. 14.04, approve two initial emergency authorization requests as set forth in the published agenda. 14.05, approve Argosy University's request for reauthorization of its principal preparation programs as set forth in the published agenda. 14.07, approve Colorado State University-Pueblo's request for reauthorization of its undergraduate level teacher preparation programs as set forth in the published agenda. 14.08, approve Relay Graduate School of Education's request for authorization to serve as a designated agency for alternative teacher preparation as set forth in the published agenda.
Is this when I call it?
No, we'll wait until we get the conclusion.
Okay, thank you.
Dr. Schroeder.
16.01, approve Denver Public Schools Innovation Zone application on behalf of its innovation schools, Creative Community Challenge, Denver Green School, Ashley Elementary, and Cole Arts and Sciences Academy, as set forth in the published agenda. 16.02 through 16.17, approve the waiver request action items 16.03 through 16.18 inclusive, as set forth in the published agenda. 16.18, approve the 2016-17 expelled and at-risk student service grant recipients in the amount of grant awards as set forth in the published agenda. 16.19, approve the 2016-17 school health professional grant recipients and amount of grant awards as set forth in the published agenda. 16.20, approve the 2016-17 Colorado Comprehensive Health Education grant recipients and amount of grant awards as set forth in the published agenda. 17.01, approve Ruth Grindeland as the replacement for data reporting and quality expertise for the vacancy left by a term ending on the Education Data Advisory Committee. 18.08, approve Kitty Hook, Nicole Jensen, Michelle Stout, Rochelle Butzin, Kimberly Servia, and Nikki Myers to serve on the Gifted Education State Advisory Committee. This is the end of the consent agenda.
Is there a second to that motion? Yes, Ms. Rankin seconds the motion. Is there objection to the inclusion of any of these items, Dr. Flores?
I do. I have 14.08, which is the Relay Graduate School of Education, and I would just like to have an explanation of what that will be,
okay,
how that will take place. And then also 16.02, which is the Denver Public Schools request on behalf of the community college, and specifically for the, it's the Luminary Learning Center and the new governance structure that DPS is asking for, Denver Public Schools.
Board Member Flores, that is now 16.01, so I just want to clarify.
16.01?
You may be looking at it.
Oh, okay. Because, yes. Very good. Thank you.
So it's 16.01 and 14.08 that you would like removed from the agenda, Dr. Flores?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Thank you.
Those will be removed from the consent agenda. The adoption of the balance of the motion, which requires unanimous consent. Is there objection to the approval of the consent agenda as amended by Dr. Flores? Seeing none, that motion is declared adopted. The consent agenda is adopted.
Is there a way to just ask whether she wants a quick explanation or a presentation? Because we used to do that at the consent time.
Dr. Flores, did you want a quick explanation, or do you want these carried on in order of where they show up on the agenda? Where they show up on the agenda. All right. We'll do that. Let the minutes show that Dr. Scheffel is present, please, Ms. Kurtzel. And let's see, we are now to, Ms. Kurtzel, your report, please.
Chairman Durham, members of the board, and Interim Commissioner Andes. Welcome to beautiful Colorado.
Yes.
I think we're seeing in the audience that people are not hearing us.
Can't hear, Elizabeth. Is your mic on? You want to hit it once? There you go. Speak into it. Maybe just not close enough.
Speak very close.
Yeah, just not close enough.
Okay. Is that better?
Can you hear in the audience? Pull it a little closer. Yeah. We'll get you some extra rope.
You know how those musicians just sort of almost chew on it while they're singing?
Yeah.
How about this?
Perfect.
Wonderful. All right. In your board packets, you have the following materials. You have your quick glance expense report and events calendar. Also in your board packets and or available on board docs are the following materials. Item 8.01, two memos regarding the school and district performance frameworks targets, one memo from May 26th and the other from June 3rd, the accompanying PowerPoint, and a list of proposed targets for the 2016 performance frameworks. For item 10.01, you also have two memos regarding the school and district performance frameworks regarding weightings, ratings, and other feedback. And those memos are from May 26th and June 4th. An accompanying PowerPoint, letter from the advocacy groups regarding the super subgroups, letter from Weld School District RE8, a letter from CASE, letters from citizens regarding the combined subgroup, and then we also have an accompanying document that lists all of the names that are a part of that group letter. And that's it for item 10.01. For items 12.01 and 12.02, there are the two rulemaking hearings, and they are being proposed today to be repealed and then reenacted into a single set of rules. So some of their supporting materials are the same. So I'm just going to put those together. And that is a memo regarding the transportation operation rulemaking hearing for 1 CCR 30129, a redline version of those rules, a draft of the combined redline rules, a comparison document of the proposed rules, the new combined rules, with the existing rule of 1 CCR 30126 and 1 CCR 30129, a crosswalk linking the school transportation related statutes to rule, comments regarding the rules, comments received, and CDE's response document, and then a clean version of the draft proposed rules. For item 13.01, you have a memo regarding the best cash grant awards, the list and summaries of the fiscal year 16-17 best cash grant recommendations, the fiscal year 16-17 grant recommendation list by congressional district, and an accompanying map. And then you also have on board docs a memo from Colorado League of Charter Schools, a letter from Swallows Charter Academy, and a cycle feedback letter that is also from the Colorado League of Charter Schools. For item 13.02, you have a memo regarding House Bill 1345, BOCES funding, and the fiscal year 16-17 funding allocations. For item 14.04, you have a memo regarding two emergency authorization requests. For item 14.05, you have a memo regarding Agassiz University. My apologies.
Argosy.
University's request for reauthorization of its principal preparation program. For 14.06, you have a memo regarding Colorado Christian University's request for authorization of its proposed principal preparation program. For item 14.07, you have a memo regarding Colorado State University Pueblo's request for reauthorization of its undergraduate level teacher preparation programs. For item 14.08, you have a memo regarding Relay Graduate School of Education's request for authorization to serve as a designated agency for alternative teacher preparation. For item 15.01, you have a memo regarding a notice of rulemaking for section 3.05 of 1 CCR 3011, the rules for the administration of statewide accountability measures for the Colorado Public School System, Charter School Institute, public school districts, and public schools. A red line and clean copy of section 0.305 of the rule, and then a crosswalk of statute and rule. For item 16.01, you have a memo regarding Denver Public Schools Innovation Zone request on behalf of Creative Community Challenge, Denver Green School, Ashley Elementary, and Cole Arts and Science, and then their supporting materials. For item 16.02 through 16.17, you have memos and supporting materials pertaining to the charter school waiver request. For item 16.18, you have a memo regarding the expelled and at-risk Student Services, the EARS Grant Awards Program, EARS Fact Sheet, and the Fiscal Year 16-17 EARS Grant Recommendation List. For item 16.19, you have a memo regarding the school health professional grant recipients and Fiscal Year 16-17 School Health Professional Grant Recommendation List. For item 16.20, you have a memo regarding the competitive health education grant recipients and the 16 through 19 Colorado Comprehensive Health Education Grant Recommendation List. For item 17.01, you have a memo regarding the Education Data Advisory Committee, EDAC, replacement for the 2016-17. You have the 15-16 membership list and then their proposed 16-17 membership list. For item 18.01, you have the application packets for the list of nominees to serve on the Gifted Education State Advisory Committee for a 3-year term. For Thursday, tomorrow, item 3.01, you have a memo regarding the online and blended educator recognition. For item 4.01, you have a memo regarding the Every Student Succeeds Act ESSA listening tour update. For item 5.01, you have a memo regarding the fiscal year 17-18 budget change request and supporting materials. For item 6.01, you have a memo regarding the content exams recommendations, accompanying PowerPoint, and praxis recommendations with cut scores. For item 7.01, you have a memo regarding the University of Phoenix discontinuance of Colorado campus teacher and principal preparation programs. For item 8.01, you have a memo regarding the application for certification of two multi-district online schools, AIM Global and Immersion School for Science, Technology, and the Arts, and their supporting materials. For item 9.01, you have a 2016 compiled implementation report, legislative implementation report, and then lastly, for item 11.01, you have a memo regarding the Credo research proposal, their accompanying PowerPoint, and a Credo executive summary, and then their IRB approval letter. And that concludes my report.
Thank you very much. Questions for Ms. Wurzel? Seeing none, we'll move on to where are we here? 7.0. And let me take this opportunity to introduce Dr. Katie Anthes, who is the Acting Commissioner of Education for the State of Colorado, and to welcome her to that position. On behalf of the board, we appreciate your willingness to assist and fill in this position, and I can assure you will have the assistance of the board whenever required. So, Dr. Anthes.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the board. Glad to be here today. Can you hear me? Is my mic on?
Yep.
Okay. So I have a short update today, and you'll hear much more about the detail of these things throughout the day today. But just wanted to say, in general, it's business as usual, and business is busy. As you can hear from Elizabeth Burtzel's report, a lot of work has been done and is being done by the staff on a lot of really intense issues. So. Just wanted to update you on a couple core things we're working on right now. We are finishing up the first phase of feedback relating to the state ESSA plan and are now planning the committee and actual plan development work. We are combing the proposed regulations that came out from the USDOE a few days ago to determine what feedback we want to give. We will want the board's input on that as well, and you'll hear more about this later in the meeting. We are also gearing up for receiving the state assessment scores, validating and analyzing them for release in August. We're working with districts right now to clean up the demographic data as the vendor is scoring. This year we'll be releasing to the districts individual student data in waves. I think you heard Mr. Kowski mention that in some grade levels and content areas will be ready before others, and computer-based scores will be ready before the paper scores are ready. We are expecting to do our state release at the August board meeting, at which time all data reports will have been validated and districts will have received their district and school level reports. We're also working very hard on the rollout of the revised school and district performance frameworks. You're going to hear a lot about that this morning, and as you will hear today, and you've already heard from many constituents, this is intense work with passionate opinions, and we're doing everything we can to find the right balance for schools, districts, and the public. We're also working to prepare for the process, analysis, and support of all the schools and districts that will be ending, coming to the end of the accountability clock. This will be the first time through this for us and the board, and we'll continue to do a lot of preparation and work with districts, state panel, and in creating recommendations for you all. And we know this is very complicated as well, so we'll be hosting more study sessions with you all, so you all feel very prepared when that comes down the pike for you. And then lastly, I know everybody has their countdown to the end of the legislative session, and people are excited when the legislative session ends, but for us, that's when the work just begins. So we have approximately 26 new laws that were passed relating to education this year. You'll hear Ms. Mello talk a little bit about that, I believe, on Thursday. But that means our work is just getting started on how to implement those 26 new laws. So we're working to determine all of that at the department and make sure our staff are supported there. And overall, we're just continuing during this transition to ensure CDE staff have the support needed to continue their good work. And we're prioritizing clear communications and work with the superintendents so that everybody knows things are moving forward smoothly and clearly. So that concludes my report. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Antis. Let's move on then to item 8. Which is the accountability and assessments, and let me just double check. I think we start with a motion to approve the cut scores, essentially the scores, and then so we'll start with that, and then we'll move into the broader discussion. So let's do the scores first, Ms. Pearson.
Okay.
All right. And we'll start with the motion, Dr. Schroeder.
I move to approve the proposed school and district performance framework targets for the 2016 school year for achievement, growth, and post-secondary workforce readiness.
Is there a second to that motion?
I second.
Dr. Flores seconds the motion. Okay, Ms. Pearson and Ms. Hutchins.
Great, thank you all. Good morning. So today we are going to... Okay. So our goals for today are to talk with you all about your role in setting targets. Sorry, I'm looking at the wrong PowerPoint. I said, why does that not match? I've got the right one right here. So we're going to talk about your role in setting targets, which, as you just made that motion, you have an official role. You need to vote in the specific targets for the school and district performance frameworks. We're going to talk about the proposed targets and methodology that are in this, are in the proposed targets that you see in front of you, and then have you all finalize the vote for the targets. We've talked about these targets since February and different methodologies for setting them and kind of landed somewhere on using that normative methodology based on schools. We provided the schools and districts with reports that show their performance with those proposed targets in place in May, and then they've had time to give us feedback on that and see what they thought. So we got a lot of feedback. The main feedback we got was around the graduation and dropout rate targets. Those really changed pretty significantly from what was before, so we've gone back and looked at that, and we're showing you all revised targets today for that. We can move to those higher targets over time. Every year you all set these targets, so we can move them up every year if you would like. But just in terms of the transition, it made sense to revise those graduation and dropout rate targets some. So we'll need your vote today so that we can put forward the targets and the frameworks this fall. That's where we're at. I'm going to turn it over to Marie now, and she's going to walk through what these actual targets are, how we got there, just go through that background again and talk about the revisions that we had.
Thanks. Good morning, State Board members. Thanks for having this conversation with us again. We appreciate all the time and energy that you've put into this and the careful thought process that has gone into deciding how we want the next generation of our performance frameworks to look like, so we appreciate your partnership in this. And just to remind you, sort of the statutory requirement for the board is that the state board shall set, reaffirm, or revise as appropriate ambitious but attainable statewide targets for the measures used to determine.
I don't think people in fact.
You have to really keep it close.
Okay.
Sorry.
So set ambitious but attainable statewide targets for the measures used to determine the levels of attainment of the performance indicators for the coming academic year, with the goal of raising the level of academic performance. And then we also have the ESSA requirements based upon the statute, and it will be, we'll figure out more once we get the proposed regulations from the feds. But the requirements from the feds are long-term goals with measures of interim progress for all students, and separately for each subgroups of students, toward a minimum improved academic achievement as measured by proficiency on the annual assessments, and then high school graduation rates. So then today, the targets that we're looking at, we always show you the picture, you know, is the individual indicator or sub-indicator targets, you know, achievement, growth, and PWR. That's the first thing that we're going to be looking at. And so this is just a list of all of the targets that we'll be setting for elementary, middle, and high school. And then, as we've said, over the months, we sort of had discussions about different target setting methodologies and have pretty much landed on a normative school distribution using performance categories. And this has been based upon, you know, feedback from our technical advisory panel, accountability working group, and other groups. And so we kind of are recommending this norm-based system that sets exceeds expectations at the 85th percentile, meeting expectations at the 50th percentile, approaching expectations at the 15th percentile. And then just note that these targets can be baselined, but for the first few years of our new assessment system, we're going to want to look how these expectations are changing and potentially adjust. And we are proposing that we will be using these percentile cuts with the new 2015-16 data. So once we get this new year of PARC, we will be setting new cuts. So again, we've talked about this before, but some of the pros of this approach is that it, you know, directs attention to areas of performance that are exceptional or concerning and compared to other schools, and it helps us inform improvement planning. It allows for meaningful differentiation of plan types based upon the total points distribution. It helps interpret the results. It's consistent with previous performance frameworks. It meets the state statutory requirements, and it also aligns with the Every Student Succeeds or ESSA expectations. It's not a perfect system. There are some drawbacks. By categorizing performance into four levels, some of the detailed data is not included. Districts are not as likely to earn exceeds or does not meets ratings as schools. And targets are based on relative performance, and they're not tied directly to the performance levels of the assessments. So we are aware that, you know, there are those limitations, but sort of the mitigation process that we have in the accountability office is that the request for reconsideration allows for schools and districts to submit additional data if the performance framework rating does not reflect their actual level of performance. And then the specific percentile ranks are considered in this secondary review. So there is the opportunity for additional information and for more detailed information to be considered as part of a decision. So as Alyssa had mentioned, we provided reports to schools and districts in May, on May 6th in particular, and that gave them an opportunity to provide feedback. And there were online survey, regional trainings and meetings, and various phone and email communications. And we received feedback from approximately 100 individuals, including 27 online responses. So, as Alyssa had said, general feedback was that 58% of respondents agreed or strongly agreed that the applied sub-indicator targets were appropriate, so using the 15-50-85. There were some concerns voiced about the impact on district ratings, especially for larger districts, by using the school distribution. And then almost all respondents expressed concerns with the applied cut points for graduation and dropout, and so we're going to get into more detail in that in a little bit. But just know that for the proposed targets, you know, for the informational reports were based on the 2014-15 achievement and growth data and 2013-14 graduation, dropout, and matriculation data. All the PWR data is lagged 1 year. And the proposed targets for the fall 2016 performance frameworks will be recalibrated to that 15-50-85 normative school expectations using the 2015-16 achievement data. So it's this upcoming year of CMAS, PARC, and science assessment results. And then the 2014-15 matriculation data. So we are proposing that growth, graduation, dropout, and ACT targets will not be adjusted. They will continue on what we're going to present to you in just a couple minutes. And then in future years, CDE will want to look at the state results and determine whether those 2016 targets can serve as the baseline for future years, or if, as we acquire more assessment results, we'll need to renorm and consider rebaselining in the future. So the first thing we're going to go through is the achievement targets. And as I said, we've discussed these before, and these are only the 2014-15 results, so they will have to be renormed. But you can see sort of where all the our expectations for approaching meets and exceeds are going to fall on the scale score of PARC. And note that the big things for this, the new fall framework, is that it will include the COALT assessment results. And we are looking at using the overall group as well as the target for the combined and disaggregated subgroups. And high school is based only on ninth grade results. And we are thinking about moving to the ability to use an all category for small systems that don't have enough students in any of the elementary, middle, and high school categories to be able to report results. So we've added some information to these slides since what you've seen previously. Not that anyone can actually see the results up on the screen up there, but we do have impact data from the 2015 assessments. And you can see that the schools do fall very closely into that 15-50-85 distribution. The districts are a little bit further off, particularly at the sort of exceeds and does not meet extreme ends. But we do still have, you know, some districts that are identified at those two extreme ends. It's just harder for larger systems to have more extreme scores. And so the specific feedback that we've gotten on the achievement targets is generally there has been concern shared around using the same targets for all students as well as for the individual disaggregated groups. Some disaggregated groups, students with disabilities were specifically cited, currently perform very differently than the overall population. So that has been some feedback. However, state statute as well as the new federal ESSA regulations sort of do require that all students be held to the same standards and expectations. So that's kind of our thinking behind this. And then, as I said before, sort of the proposed 2016 targets will be based using the 2015-16 CMAS results. They'll be set using the 15-50-85 percentile rates. It will include COALT, and we will use the same targets for all groups of students.
Could you please say for the audience what COALT means?
Oh, sorry.
Jargon.
So it's the Colorado Alternative Assessment for students who have the most severe disability, so it's the 1% assessment. Aligned with the standards. And the alternatives, I don't know as much about COALT as I should, I apologize. All right, so then for growth targets, so the preliminary growth targets, just sort of the background again, so the metric is the median student growth percentile, or MGP, and until we have more consecutive years of CMAS PARC data, we suggest